Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Leagues BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe. Kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe. Kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. So post up on your couch, screencast to YouTube. It's gonna be fun. It will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rhymes are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. He said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. He said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, can I get to entertain y'all? And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet some are good, who's gonna impress? Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, get back with me. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's
Welcome to the All Things BMX show. We're on episode 171. It's going to be a good night. We're hanging out. We're going to have G-Mo. Some of you guys know him as George Fix. Some even know him as G-Mo. You guys call him whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's going to be a good show tonight. George is known in the BMX world as the videographer for USA BMX, along with a writer, photographer, assistant editor of Pull Magazine. You got many, many hats over there at the mothership, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to find out about all that here in a few minutes.
We are. We're going to talk all things BMX tonight with George.
There we go. It's funny how that works.
It certainly is. We're coming to you guys live from the ATV studio here in the busy metropolis of Heartland, Michigan. And we want to thank Danger Snacks for bringing our guest this evening. He'll be on screen here shortly. You guys don't forget, you can support the show by sending stars on Facebook right below. You click on that and you can send them in. They support the show. Or you can visit our Buy Me a Coffee page. Chris and I are brought to you by DeSoto BMX Big Top. We're hanging out here at the, it's not a top, it's just the desktop. Oh, the big top desktop, Chris.
The big desktop.
It's the big desktop. We want to thank the people over at DeSoto BMX for supporting the show. Yes. Melissa's off this evening. She had some duties to take care of. She's doing some mom duties with Laura.
Yep.
They were touring the school, so yep. She'll be back very soon. But we want to thank Gate 9 for the producer's perch back there.
DVS back there. DVS is back Detroit there. Velvet just, Smooth.
He's got his chain on for the Mighty Mo's BMX cruise.
I see that.
He's back there chilling. Got to watch out.
He's got a race jersey on, too.
Snap you right out of the gate right there.
Yes, sir.
The show's chat is brought to you by our good friends over at BMX Rocks Photography. And they're bringing you our chat question this evening, which will be posted on our social media pages here in about 5 minutes. What are your plans for Labor Day? What are you guys doing for the whole weekend? What do you got going on?
Yeah. And a lot of people probably heading to Louisville. Or if you're in Michigan, you might be wanting to check out the Triple Track Challenge.
You going to be at that, Chris?
I'm definitely going to be there Saturday.
You're not going to be there Friday?
Friday, I got stuff going on, and Sunday.
You're not going to get the big award then.
No, I'm not, unfortunately. But hey, if you're in Michigan, you're going to hit Can-Am BMX on Friday. We got Waterford Oaks on Saturday.
Northern Ohio. You can still make it to all.
Oh, that's true. Hey, we're not limiting it to come from wherever. Hey, Canada, too. I mean, Can-Am, you just come across the bridge, right. You're right there, dude.
Same thing for Waterford and Richfield. It's not far.
Right. No,
come on over, hang out with us. We're going to do three tracks over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to do those. And it was a I was happy to be asked by the three tracks. Hey, can you put this together? I got Paul and myself and Chris, Melissa, and all of us put our heads together and we got this going. So,
sponsored by All Things BMX Show.
And a big thanks to our good friends down in Florida that we stole the idea from that do the Banging Bar series. So you guys go in when it hits the put what you guys are doing over the weekend in the chat. Put it on our social media pages. Tonight's lightning round, which I'm excited to get GMO on and give him the business. And lightning round is brought to you by our good friends over at 110 Nutrition. Our show doesn't happen without the support of these great companies: Answer BMX, Die Job Apparel. Die Job does the jerseys for our team, so we really appreciate them. And they can do them for your team. Make sure you guys look them up. And Bombshell Racing Systems. And without further ado, let's welcome our guest in. Yes.
George, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic, fellas. How you guys doing?
Great. We're excited to talk with you. Hey, let's start out with, how did you get involved with the sport of BMX for the first time?
Oh, man. When I was little, my stepdad was in the military, so we moved to San Diego when I was like 2 years old. Originally, I'm from St. Louis.
Okay.
So in San Diego, my sister is 11 years older than me. So all of her friends, you know, that went to high school and whatnot when I was a little kid, several of them raced BMX. So I used to always see the bikes, you know, they had the magazines around, you know, so on and so forth. Another interesting thing is she went to school with Donovan Long.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I didn't know that until, well, they didn't know each other, but I didn't know that until I sat down and talked with Donovan, and I think he graduated like 2 years after she did.
Oh, wow.
But anyhow, you know, so I was always interested in BMX. When I lived in San Diego, never got to race, though. Just never made the connection of getting myself out to the track. Turned 12 or so, and we moved back to St. Louis from San Diego. And just out riding my bike one day, and I met a kid in some trails that we had back in the woods, and he had a Rock One plate on his bike. And still friends with that guy to this day. But, you know, he invited me out to you know, he asked, had I ever heard of racing? I told him, yeah. And, you know, I asked him about his plate and kind of explained what it was. And yeah, so that next weekend, I think I was 14 at the time. The next weekend, we went out to the track, and the rest is history, man.
Awesome. And how long was it between when you found the sport and then kind of found your way into your role at USA BMX? Is that like a few years, a couple decades?
No, it was a while.
Okay.
So
okay.
I started racing in 1995.
Okay.
Spring of 1995. I raced for 3 or 4 years, and then I went off to college. Got into college, girls, had some kids, the whole nine yards. So I stepped away for like maybe 4 or 5 years, and I came back to the sport around 2003. 2003, just started racing again.
Mm-hmm.
By 2005, I started college, and I went... So 2005 started college, and I started recording races. Around that time is when I kind of got introduced to Rich Montalvo. He was doing stuff down in Florida. So while I'm in school, I'm like, man, I really think I could do this, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I ended up meeting Rich, either that year or the next year. And then I started just freelancing, just doing any video project that involved BMX I could do. So I would like, you know, I would go film state races and like sell DVDs. I would, you know, I worked for, I've actually worked for every single company that streamed BMX since 2005. So you had ISTV.
Okay.
Did freelance for them. BMX TV Direct, did freelance for them. Go to 11, did freelance for them. And then ultimately I was hired on here in the beginning of 2012.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I like it. Something we share in common, we didn't know. 95 was the year I found the sport too.
Ah, okay.
I got a few years on you, but it was the same year for me. so you worked for all the streaming companies. So kind of jump back a little bit, your racing, like how much racing as you were, you know, doing the video recording and things like that, how much racing were you doing? And like, where did you end up progressing into with racing?
Racing, I'd say for the first 3 years, man, I was gung-ho. Turned expert in like 8 months, and just kind of traveled around. It was just me and my mom. Parents got divorced, so we would travel Midwest mostly. So, you know, anywhere in like from Ohio to, you know, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, you know, we just traveled around. And so I would race maybe 3 or 4 nationals a year. Did pretty good in those nationals. I don't know if you saw on my page, in the Gold Cup 97, it was the first year that they had the Central Finals, which was in Sedalia, Missouri. I made the main. I think we had like 50 riders or whatnot. I made the main in 17X. Oh, wow. And that was the only race that I think I beat Kyle Bennett. So, I mean, I think I was a decent expert.
There you go. Yeah.
Back in those days. And, you know, I made several main events, you know, and yeah, led me to here.
All right. All right. Wow. So you were familiar with like the whole NBL circuit race and all that, right?
Definitely. So like being in St. Louis, we were kind of on the border. So
you, that's where I
was ABA.
That's where I was going to ask which way you leaned. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So or raced. If you look, you see this, that NAG plate right there. So I won that NAG plate in 2007.
Dang.
And I actually got top 10 both in NBL and ABA that year.
Not an easy thing to do. Congratulations.
Yeah. And that was only with 6 months of racing because I broke my foot in July of that year, 2 weeks before the Worlds.
Wow. All right, man. Awesome. So, been around the block, G-Mo, with your racing.
Yeah, man. Been around for a while.
Do you, we're going to kind of jump timelines here, but like, do you still race locally or anything like that?
Nah, man, I'm retired.
What?
I'm
Come retired. On. You're too young to be retired.
I let my kid does the racing now. So, yeah, after I broke my foot, I think I tried to race maybe a couple more years.
Okay.
I raced a little bit like in the state series when we first moved here to Arizona. But after that, you know, I found more passion in doing my job here.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. I can understand that.
That's the few folks that we have talked to from USA BMX, they've all had some type of racing, you know, they've raced in one way or, you know, for some amount of time, I guess I would say. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I feel
cool.
Like you should have that on your resume.
Yeah. It's almost like a prerequisite.
I mean, like you're a machine company. And if I come to you with only janitorial services, and you're going to put me on one of them big old machines at your place?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, well.
Maybe the tool crib, take some naps in.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know we wanted to talk about this, and it's crazy how fast the time will fly by as we're chit-chatting. But this is a big thing. And it was funny, we were kind of conversing a little bit before the show, and you got a phone call on it. One of the big projects, and look, before you'd come on the show, got a lot of messages on like ask him this, ask him about this, and not just FYI, not wasn't derogatory by any means. It's like this is like people really want to know is the transponding and scoring, right? Because we watched at the Worlds. If you were watching last weekend, the British finals, you know, it's there, right? So yep. And then you and I were chatting. And I was surprised to find out this is a project you're working on. Do you want to kind of like walk us through what's going on with that?
This is the scores transponders, the little red things you see on everybody's forks.
Yes. So,
just for people that aren't aware, I'm just kind of filling that in a little bit.
So Martin Ward from Scores reached out to us. Forgive me if I say the wrong date, Martin. I want to say it was 2021, before the 2021 Grands. And, you know, he wanted to see what he needed to do to get scores into the United States. So at that time, you know, we kind of developed a partnership there. He came to the Grands in 2021. We set up timing there. We used it for the NAG 5 Challenge. And then we announced that we were going to have it at every national in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which we did. And then this year we offered, you know, timing to the customers. They can come in, They pay a fee for the weekend and they get all of their times. We usually have three or four loops on the tracks. And so we've just been using it as a training, training data acquisition program for now. Mm-hmm. So now we're moving into our next phase. And what that is going to be is going to be using it to actually score events. So Scores does that already around the world. They do it in Australia, Great Britain. I think they're doing it on FFC in France. Mm-hmm. Our issue was Scores also can act as a registration program, similar to our race manager that we've developed. We have so much time and effort put into Race Manager that we did not want to just, get rid of all that. It's built into like the back end office system here. So we didn't want to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. So what we've been developing is a intermediary program that goes between Scores and it talks to Race Manager so they can talk back and forth. So we're in the development stages of that right now. For the remainder of the year, we're trying to get some development finished to be able to use that for the pros. They're kind of going to be our guinea pigs. And so pretty soon pro racing will be scored using Scores. And that will also allow for instantaneous results will be posted online. So you could go to ourscores.com and you can see, mm-hmm. As the race happens, it's pretty much, within probably 5 seconds, 4 or 5 seconds, depending on where you're at in the world. You'll be able to watch the race happen digitally. So, wow. So eventually we will get to the point where that comes into scoring for nationals. I don't see that happening probably till maybe end of next year, but I would 2025 would be a better gauge on that. But we still have a lot of little things to work out.
Sure. You're taking pickups and everything. Two different pieces of software, getting them to talk. That's not easy. You were talking about how the score system can work for registration. And we have one of the friends of the show that had traveled internationally to where he had his transponder and he basically said his experience was he rolled through a certain area and it was like deducted, boom, you're like deducted money. And by the way,
credit card or something to it.
Deducted it and boom, he was out racing and there's the moto sheets. He's already on there and everything was taken care of.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing system.
That is sweet.
Martin and his partner, Damien, have developed something that the sport has needed for a long time. We actually dabbled in timing like over 10 years ago, using the same, MyLapse transponders and, mm-hmm. and decoders. But at that time we were still using MotoMaker. This is before Race Manager.
Okay.
And you would physically have to write down who had what transponder number, and because it wouldn't give you any of that registration data. It only gave you the raw data.
A serial number is all you had.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it was very tedious to use and we kind of just went away from it. But, with Martin and developing Scores and what it is now, man, it's an awesome system.
That sounds really cool.
it was Mo from, BMX Rocks.
Oh yeah.
When he was talking about it, he's like, "Yeah, man, just roll through, it's all done."
First
of all,
yeah, our buddy.
I'm going to be selfish and say I need that cuz I'm the worst remembering the register. So I'm like, as soon as we can, if we need to speed it up, we can promote this anyway. That's over here best. On this side, I will.
You did that a couple weeks ago. Dude, did I register? I don't remember.
But I did.
So and you did.
It happens, all right? You show up, just get shooting the shit and you forget to sign up, okay? It happens, right? Semi-retired.
I've done it before.
See, it happens to the best of us. What is this is a question we had pop up too, is what is a normal, and I don't think there's, this is where I have to amend this question. What does a work day for GMO look like when you're not at the track? So you're, let everyone know where you're at right now. And then tell us what a normal work day is like for you when you're not at the bike track.
Okay, so I am in my office in Arizona at the USA BMX West facility, former headquarters. The new headquarters is in Tulsa. But on a normal day, let's see. For today, for example, we're working on the grants program. So I spent a good portion of my day finding photographs for our art director. So they have to be, you know, good photographs, sharp images, you know, showing sponsors correctly.
Wait, you mean you just can't use one off my phone, bro?
No. Well, you could. I mean, if it's a good sharp photo, but a lot of people send us stuff, the resolution's too small or, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that consisted of my morning looking for those photos. I'm also awaiting some voiceover work that we've hired out for the Hall of Fame. So probably next week, I'm going to start assembling the Hall of Fame videos that'll be played during the induction ceremony. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else do I do daily? Work on track projects. So if a track needs a commercial, if they need a voiceover, if they need whatever they need, if it's media related, I can assist them with that.
What if a track wants a commercial, what does that mean and what does it entail?
Generally, it's just, you know, if they have an in with like a local cable company or some way to put that, you know, out to their community, Facebook ads or whatnot, we help them develop that. You know, we kind of go over data sets and where we think that you know they should put their ad dollars to get that out to the you know potential customer. So they would reach out to us if they want a 15-second radio spot, if they want a 30-second commercial for TV or whatever the case is. We'll kind of go over with them what we think will work best, and yeah, we'll proceed from there.
That's actually really impressive, because like Facebook advertising, as you know, is pretty powerful, but it's also not the easiest thing to navigate.
Easiest thing, yeah.
You know, it's like, so, hey, it starts at the top, and I'm sure you know this, like, oh yeah, you know, put your money here and it goes there. You're like, where's it going? But right. You guys help navigate the waters. That's awesome.
So those are things available to track operators.
Yes.
All right. Yep. All right. If you track operators didn't know
do
that.
Do you do voiceovers though? Can somebody request you?
I have. You know, I did a commercial for the Grands a couple years ago.
Right.
I've done like I have a video on Scores or on YouTube right now about Scores. I you know did the voiceover on that. But yeah,
okay.
It depends on what it is. Hmm. You know, some things I think my voice would be good for. Other things I would think we'd want to hire it out.
All right, going forward, any track that needs a commercial done, request GMO.
There you go.
So you're handling all these media requests and
or maybe a podcast or a live stream, maybe
whatever. You're handling all these requests. That takes you through your morning, afternoon. Do you have like other projects you work on, things like that?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this timing.
Yeah, I'm still the timing stuff. I'm still the assistant editor of the magazine.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, that entails a lot of things, from like tallying like the data pages that you see at the end of each national, like with the doubles and triples and you know the date.
Oh yeah.
How many, what was the social media reach and all of that stuff. So I compile a lot of that stuff.
I find that stuff really interesting. I don't know if I'm weird or what the deal is here, but I'm like, that stuff's really interesting to me. I don't know why.
It's rewarding just to see the fruits of your labor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, not only for the riders, you can see who double and triple, but you know how many people came from what, you know, how many states, you know, and that's good to track that historically. So, you know, 20 years from now, whoever is doing my job or you know whatever the medium is at that point can go back to the magazine and look that stuff up. So,
right. Well, it probably helps with a lot of different things. You know, maybe you're looking at putting a national or a gold cup event in a particular area of the country, and you can see, okay, we drew X number of people to this town when we had this event here. So, you know, and that was a big number. So we need to look at putting something in this area again,
raw
and so on.
Yeah, we track all that data.
Yeah, man.
You know, Most of the real deep dive data stays internal, but
sure,
you know, that stuff at the end of the the magazine articles is definitely good, you know, information to have.
And it's neat because it starts to take this now it's getting historical, right? Like at this national, this person tripled, at this one, this person did this. Yeah. Which is nice.
That's cool.
And who doesn't love setting reading analytics? Evidently, not as many people as I think, but I think it's pretty fun that, you know, like, yeah, hey.
That's, I like that stuff.
And it's funny you bring that up because that was in the latest poll magazine. I like flipped open and I like, you know, oh, what's this? What is this? Right here on the sidebar. It's like double doubles, triple triples and things like that. So you got to love stats.
I do.
Sure, man. Yeah.
Maybe we're just
guy.
Yeah.
maybe we're just weird, but I think that stuff's cool.
Anything else?
Oh man. Let's see. What else? I manage the timing system here locally, Chandler BMX. So that generally entails fixing issues that arise. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the desert, man. It's hot, so you're battling. You know, electronics and heat don't really go together. So I'm always battling and trying to figure out ways to alleviate problems that arise because, you know, those two things do not go together.
Right.
So I kind of admin that. Let's see, man. What else? I don't know. I just kind of do whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure there's fires that come up all the time that need to be put out.
All right. So the other side of that question is, what do you do? We'll paraphrase it because we would need another 4 hours for you to explain to everybody what you do on a race day. But you were talking like before the show, some of the stuff you guys have, you implement in the back end. Like, what do you do on a race day when you're at the track? So let's just go like, hey, we're at whatever national, you're there. What's that day look like for you?
Okay. Well, I'll start on a Wednesday. So
okay.
There you go.
On Wednesday it starts. So I'll build our show in our software that we use to stream. And then usually sometime on Wednesday, I'll go catch flight to wherever the event is. That gets me there by Wednesday night, so I'm ready to work all day Thursday. So on Thursday, generally I'll go, if I have to install timing, I'll do that in the morning, and then I will test all of our cameras and audio and graphics and everything. I will test, you know, instant replay, all that gets tested Thursday afternoon. So then we get to the event starting on Friday. So Friday morning, get to the track, we'll turn on the timing system, we'll make sure everything is as it should be. We will get our cameras live back to our head-in office here in Arizona. We'll check the audio, the color correction, the framing of the shots, you know, everything that we want, how we want it to look, make sure it's good. So historically, so we started streaming every race in 2018. So I used to only stream main events. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, I was the only person at the event, so I would be shooting photos during qualifying, and then I would turn on the cameras, or camera back then, it was just a single camera, during the main events, and then I would live shoot the main events. Fast forward to now, we have two cameras, two live cameras. And during COVID, the first event that we ever did the entire race day was the Bounce Back Nationals after COVID. So that was a lot of, you know, nights during our, we got furloughed here, you know, nobody knew what was going on, world was upside down. So I had to figure out a way, how can I stream for basically like 8 or 9 hours without the stream going down, without having to, you know, manage it too much.
Right.
So we kind of figured that out at the Bounce Back Nationals. It was the first race that we streamed all day long.
Okay.
So every moto, every quarter semi. And then what I would do is, you know, in between the break from semi to main, we would run some commercials, and then I would hop on the camera, and then we would, you know, do it like we used to do. I would live film the main events.
Okay. Yeah.
So that has morphed into what you see today.
Okay. All right. So, shoot.
Forget where you're at.
Yeah, I just screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm looking at one thing and doing another.
So what time does that normally start for you? What a.m. hour?
Oh, practice starts Fridays at some races. I think it starts at 7. Some it starts at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So I'm usually up around 2 hours prior to the start time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're probably last one to leave, right?
Always.
Yeah.
The last one bringing equipment into the truck as we're shutting the generator off.
Oh, for sure. Right. For sure.
Right. Yeah. All right. So you live stream this and you send it back to the headquarters there. And then is there any editing that goes on, or is it just all done at the track, or where does that happen?
So it comes back, just the raw camera feeds and audio. Come back to my home office here in Arizona. And depending on the event, I'll either have a technical director that will be at the switch where those feeds are coming in. Mm-hmm. So that person is actively, you know, running the moto board, making sure that the weather ticker is correct. Running commercials if there's a down rider.
Okay.
So I had a person here that could always do it. Mm-hmm. That person eventually couldn't do it all the time. So I had to figure a way, like, okay, how do I continue the same level of production without people being able to come here? So then we figured a way to where people can remotely log in and do that same work from basically anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you bounce the raw video signal? Is that like a bandwidth? So you bounce that back. So, like, let me rephrase that question. So you're bouncing the raw video signal. Sorry, we're going to get nerdy for a moment. We're going to get nerdy and dirty. Right. You take the raw bandwidth feed, or the raw feed of the race, feed it back. And then the rest, yep. Is that where, like, once it's bounced back, is that where the overlays and all the stuff is put on?
Correct. So once it gets to the video switcher, that's when everything else gets added.
And that's not on site. That's done remotely. And
correct.
Okay.
So you're
not consuming like as much bandwidth at the location, because that stream is very minimal. You're sending back, and then everything else is being added, and then you probably have a direct connect feed that goes out to us that watch it.
Yes and no. It actually consumes twice as much bandwidth as if we produced it on site, because I'm sending two feeds out. I'm sending a feed from each camera. Now, if we produced it on site, then there would only be one pipe going up.
Okay, but it sounds like it's a labor thing. It's easier to get it out and get it remote to where people can work than having them on site. Correct.
Correct.
And it's
a cost thing too. You know,
like, sure.
You know, around 2015, 2016, we were live streaming all of the when we first started the Supercross series.
Yeah.
So I would have to fly 4 or 5 people, sometimes 6 people, to a venue in whatever town.
Okay.
We would have to feed them. We would have to put them in hotel.
Right.
I would have to get a rental car big enough to drive us all around.
Yeah.
I have to get all the equipment there. You saw all the equipment I use at Grand. So I would bring most of that equipment to those venues. And then at the end of that, you know, we have to pay all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, it's quite an undertaking to do that, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a year.
Right.
So I had to come up with a way to be able to still offer the viewer at home a way to watch the event without so much cost on our end.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming up with a solution.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for sure.
We love to be able to watch it. And you know what's really nice about that? It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, like last time I checked, it didn't cost me anything to watch it. So
still free,
right?
Still free,
sure, for sure.
Still free.
You know, that's the thing.
And you know what I also find pretty impressive is that you have when there's double nationals? Like, you're still able to broadcast, you know, this national and then that national. Like,
yeah, that's so much work.
Well, like you said.
Well, it's double.
It's
more than double.
It's more than double
because I have to set up different systems to be able to, that I normally don't use. Yeah. So.
Because you go one nationals on Facebook, one nationals on YouTube, right?
This year we did actually both.
What?
On both venues. Yeah. So
how
You're talking Music City and you're talking Spring Nationals in
Duke
City.
Talk to me, brother.
So what I did was, so Facebook will allow you to have as many streams as you want. Now, you could put 10 streams on one page. They don't care because each one is just a different post. YouTube, on the other hand, you can only stream one live stream at a time. So what I did was, we have a freestyle YouTube channel as well. So Duke City went on to our freestyle YouTube page, and then Music City went on to our normal USA BMX page.
Good thinking.
Wow.
Good thinking.
Working the system.
Gotta find that angle, son. Gotta get it.
Always.
And you bring up a good, a great segue, by the way, that wasn't planned. The freestyle stuff. Are there plans to be live streaming those events like the Nationals?
I have already. We did that 2021. I think the National Championships was the first event that we did.
Yeah. Yep.
And we've done some since then. But the viewership just isn't where we need it to be able to garner, you know, or justify live streaming those events.
Okay.
The ones that we did do were like UCI qualifiers. So we would get a global audience versus just, you know, friends and family type audience.
Sure.
So we've kind of slowed down on that, just looking at some numbers. You know, hopefully as that side of the business grows, then we'll be able to bring those back.
That's interesting, because I would have thought, like with freestyle, that there would have been a, you know, like a big thing to it, there would have been a big audience there. So it's interesting to know, like, but then again, I kind of see, I'm old now, very old, that like freestyle is kind of absorbed in chunks of Instagram clips. So I'm also not surprised at the same time that, like, no one, you know, somebody might not want to watch a whole run. They'd rather watch just some highlights here and there. Very interesting. And since you guys have, like, taken over you brought in the freestyle part, right? Not taken over, you brought it in. Brought it in. I like that it's in one mag. It's still in our magazine. I'll say ours is Racers, but, like, you know, hey, there it is. I can go read about it. are there other plans in the works for the freestyle side of stuff?
As far as more events or
we can go anywhere with it. Like the event side. Well, you'd mentioned you covered the broadcasting side, like, the digital side, that part really intrigues me, how you guys are still running that. You can do your contest runs and send them in, which I think is awesome. And you can do a better job explaining this in a second, but is there any plans to expand, whether it's more contests, more promoting? You already covered the live stream, but anything like that on the freestyle side from where you're at?
Media wise, I think we are where we are right now. As far as, yeah, I could see us expanding more digitally, to bring in more people, more state championships and whatnot. People can submit those clips.
What a cool idea.
We're always trying to partner with different freestyle companies just to get more awareness. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't even know that there's an amateur series out there where they can go participate. So we use a lot of those channels to be able to spread the word about the contests. And the contest will continue. I don't know. I'm not on the planning committee or anything for that, for those events. That would be a Cody Wilson. You know, he'd be able to tell you the ins and outs and ups and downs and all that.
Right.
But I do know that, you know, they do have some awesome venues that have been on the freestyle series. You know, we've seen kids garner sponsorship based on our series. So like Caden Cernius, for example, He's one of the more popular, you know, freestyle kids. I think he's like 12 years old now. I think he's 12 or 13. You know, he's got some big time sponsors. He has like, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers on YouTube. And, you know, part of a lot of his deals is how he finishes in the mm-hmm. USA BMX, you know, freestyle series. So
that's good. Oh, that is pretty neat. I like it.
I just put up your stops in the lower corner there, which we're going to be out there in Royal Oak because we ride there all the time because they have they call it Fossil Night.
It's for Fossil Night.
It's for the old folks to come out and ride with their walkers and
training
don't
wheels.
Break a hip.
Oh yeah, don't break a hip on that night there at our at Modern.
When is that?
That's going to be September 22nd, 23rd. It's over at Modern. Yeah. So. I was really excited to see that because I followed along with it. I think it's super cool. And the idea of like what you just touched on, breaking it down, like having a state champion in freestyle, I never would have thought of that ever, you know? So mm-hmm. back when you and I both found BMX in 95, like obviously, you know, the racing was there and then the whole explosion of the X Games came out a few, you know, months, years later and I followed down that path and it's pretty cool to see this is happening and the organization behind it that you guys are providing is really cool. We're going to do we'll take a pause real quick and we'll do a chat check-in. Gmo, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
All right. Cause I know there's questions piling up and Melissa's off tonight. You guys, sorry. Payroll can't afford her for the whole time. Jeez. Okay. So Chris and I got to try to hold the whole fort down. We'll do our best here.
Sorry, and, our chat check-in brought to you by BMX Rocks Photography.
Our chat check-in. Give Gmo a break here real quick. Just going to start at the top real quick. Thank you, Ronnie Anderson, for checking in. Scott Salone, thank you. Josh Blair, thanks for checking in. Mr. Kennard, thank you, sir. Hey, Kennard, let me know, did you guys get smoked by the hurricane or not? He says, hello from Hurricane Alley.
Right.
The coach, DL, checking in with us this evening, low and slow. Hey. Jeff says, hey, George, thanks for all that you do. And at the Grands this year, can we please see more of the first straight during the quarters and semis for girls and expert boys, please? George, I should have sent you the login for our chat so you can see all of them coming in.
I see them. I'm looking.
Okay, because I can give you the key. I can give you the key for all the Facebook and Twitch and YouTube. DL, thanks again for joining. Scott Salone. You know what? I might not read his comments, Gmo, because we still can't get him on the show. He's ducking us. No, I'm just kidding. He's a busy guy. He does a lot of traveling. Said, let's see what it just jumped me to the end here. Scott said, here he goes. He said 2023, that year was hard trial for the installs. Scott wants to know when he can get his iPad for staging, which I'm glad you brought that question up. I'm going to parking lot it because I had that question a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Hope, and this is from all of us here. Hope all of our Florida family are safe. And if you're coming up to Louisville, be patient. Drive careful, Scott. Couldn't say any better because you said it for us. Dave D'Artoni, thank you for joining. Nick, stick with Nick from Florida. Thanks for joining. He says, yo, Mr. Gifford says, what's up, fam? Thank you, guys. Richard McCavany, in 2019 or 18, in Albuquerque, the photo that made the cover of Pull was 5155 novice of two riders that were in the photo were myself, and I found myself in first place, ending up getting second. And he's been hooked on racing ever since from that picture.
Wow.
We had David, which has the longest YouTube name ever. David Aware Bird, but I don't know. it's such a long, I will happily copy and paste
just
it.
Just call him Dave.
Dave. Wow. He said electronics don't heat there or don't work well with heat. He was talking about when he worked in the special forces in the Middle East. We appreciate your service, sir. Mo Collins, who we talked about earlier, he says he appreciates the streaming of the whole race. I have family in Ireland that get to watch him race. Thank you for all you do, Gmo.
Cool.
Brian Fell's checking in. Damon Tucson, he's leaving Toledo this evening. They were racing. He says, hello, fam.
Hey, Damon. Brian Fell.
Dave with the longest YouTube name ever. No, you didn't hear Al Kane say son. That was Chris saying son. Lisa White from Florida says, hi, Melissa and Justin. Hello. I hope you're safe and dry for the best part. Tom Johnson. Hello. I'm going to scroll through here real quick. And does anyone have any questions? Oh, forgive me. I missed this early. Please explain. Oh, well, we're going to get to it. Dave.
What's that?
Being that we have one question. Then we're going to follow up to Dave's question about why there is a motorcycle in Paisley Park in the slideshow. Because not only is our guest a big Prince fan, Chris is sitting next to one of the biggest Prince fans ever. So we'll get to that here in a few minutes. I want to toss that question over that came out of the chat room. So Mr. Salone asked about the iPad, right, for scoring. And that was I've had this kicking around in my head. With the automation of scoring, like, is that something with, the software that USA BMX uses, is this something that is going to be able to be easily implemented? Is it something that could have been implemented? Like, where are we at? We're like, it's just a touch of the button on an iPad.
You could, well, you can't use an iPad because it's a race manager, is a Windows only product.
Boo, my goodness. Hey, I'm just teasing.
I don't make the rules.
And you don't write the software.
But you can already, like, if you had a Surface laptop,
sure,
and you had it networked into your computer system at the track, you could score now.
Can you do that like locally too?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why? Yeah, of course you could.
It would just, like, be like having a laptop
down. You're right. Yeah, there'd be no different because the Surface tablets run literally like on the back end. They run like a
computer,
laptop,
PC. Yep.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Local tracks need to buy more of them.
Oh.
They do.
I can see the wheels turning. He's like, I got this.
Because it's just there and done. Like it literally ends duplicate work. So that has always been my thing. Like,
you don't have to take all the moto sheets and go back and put them into the computer. They're already in there.
Now, granted, I do know that, they like to still have the written moto sheets.
Sure, you got to have those.
Written moto sheets tell a story.
Right?
They tell a story that a straight digital file does not tell.
Yeah. Right.
That's true, because you can write notes and all that stuff on them. That's true.
Let's say if you're going to, because it sounds like with scores, it's almost going to kind of jump the line of that, because you aren't even going to go to the manual entry. You're just going to go to the digital entry based upon the transponders.
Eventually it will be automated. That's going to be a long time from now. How we have it set up, to test right now is Scores sends the data over to Race Manager. There is a button that basically updates in Race Manager to let you know that timing data has been seen. You open a window, a dialog box pops up. It gives you the finish order based on the transponders, and then you can choose to either accept or deny.
Okay. Here's your hardball question. So last weekend, laying on the couch, because I was couch champion of Michigan BMX. I'm watching the British Grands, whatever they, British champions.
Okay.
And they would have on the bottom the finishes, right? So, are they using that as a definitive scoring, or do they still have a manual score? Or I'll give you option C.
There's nobody. If you watch the Worlds, if you watch FFC races, basically anywhere else around the world, there is no score at the finish line.
Okay, that was okay. Really? Thank you for answering that.
So you, the UK uses scores. So those are the actual finish, official finishes. Now, if it's within a hundredth of a second, if two riders finish within a hundredth of a second of each other, it won't show you the time. It'll have a picture of the photo, like a little photo icon.
Okay.
So then whoever the timing director is has to go into the high-speed camera at the finish line, make the determination who actually finished and what those times were, and then they republish those.
Wow. Quick question. Knowing that USA BMX may or may not move to this, are you guys going to hire a camera director? I just want to put my resume in right now.
What, to review the finishes?
Yeah.
I,
I got a solid resume of looking at videos, man. Like everybody else.
Yet to be seen. yet to be seen.
Not worried about the gross pay. We can do it remotely. It's all right. It's okay.
So, all right. I do have a question, and this might be a, I'm not going to answer it or whatever, but so the timing transponder is on the forks of the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at the finish, you're watching the front tire crossing the finish line.
Correct.
So is that where it gets into your 100th of a second and then it has to be reviewed on the high speed camera?
Not necessarily. So
okay.
When you install a timing loop, the front of the finish line is equal to the back of the loop. So you cross the front part of the loop. It gives you your time when the transponder enters the middle of the loop. So there's two wires on the outside. Let's say my mic was the transponder, right?
Okay.
And then this hand is the finish line and the far part of the loop. This part is the front. So people are racing this way.
Okay.
So when your tire hits the finish line, your transponder should be somewhere in the middle of that loop.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty close.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's within a thousandth of a second. It's very, very accurate.
I saw this technology a couple of years back I got tapped to announce a marathon down in Detroit. And like the whole time I'm there, they're like, you're going to DJ, you're going to announce, Damon was DJing. And I'm like, I want to see the scoring. And it was the same system, different name, by a different company, basically. Mm-hmm. And they have the very same thing with running, like, because on the bib, you know. And I'm like,
oh, on the number that goes on the.
Because they're like, you are more. You're the only announcer we've ever had ask questions about the score, like the way the software works. Because, but the whole time I'm thinking like. I know this is coming. I know this is coming to our sport. And I think it's very interesting. And the fact that you can tack on like all these, we teased earlier.
All the information.
All this information analytics. Like what you did, I don't know if it was your first test event or not. It was the first time I saw it. So forgive me if I'm wrong. But in Vegas, when the practice timing, and you could see like stacked rankings.
Yep.
Dude, come on. Like that is awesome. Like, because I know that information is also available, like on Score's website too. You know, you could go and you can look at an event. You can look at it. You can even go one night. We got, this just went down a rabbit hole. I logged on to Score's and I was like going to random tracks and picking different events. And I'm looking at like all the data that was there. Right. And that's very cool. I feel like that's the next. You know, like, I don't know if it's an evolution or the next thing we're going to add to our sport is that it's kind of like an instant gratification. But again, it's that instant data that you have.
Right.
So we call them factory dads, whatever. They're going to be sitting in the stands on their iPad because it'll work. And they'll just be up there like looking, you know, this was your lap time. This was your split time or whatever you want to call it, you know. And that's very interesting. I mean, look at the Formula One show. Like everyone is enamored by all the analytics that they can provide.
Oh, the data.
So that graphic that you're talking about, I actually got it from MotoGP.
Okay.
I recreated the graphic and then I'm like, okay, because when you look at our scores, it's purely analytical. There's no visual element to it. I'm like, well, I'm a visual guy. I like to see, you know, cool stuff and photos and everything.
Well, you got to have the presentation, right?
What's that?
You got to have the presentation.
Exactly. So I tried to figure a way. I'm like, okay, how can I make this more interesting to look at? How can I make it more of like a competition to where, you know, we'll show the photo of whoever's winning. So you're kind of inspired. All right, I'm going to go get a faster time than that person. I added all the classes. So it doesn't matter if you're a novice or expert or pro or whatever, you know, your times will be there.
Sure.
I like this. You had the flat pedals, right?
Yep.
This tells you, right? And you could go flat pedal girls. And it was just good stuff, man. I really applaud. Oops, wrong. I went too far.
Oops.
Really applaud the effort there because I have found myself before.
That is cool.
because I don't keep track of time zones as well as I should, obviously. Yeah. Before the show, you knew this. But I will like turn on and I'll be like, well, the feed's not on. And I can see this, like this stuff's up. You're already feeding it out. And, you know,
man. Yeah, I turn that thing on like first thing in the morning as soon as practice
starts. That's so cool. Okay, so can we turn off BMX just for a second and talk some goodness?
Yeah. Some goodness.
Bro, come on. Let's talk about your trip to Prince. God, I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that question.
Paisley Park.
Let's talk, because like I have 1,500 questions coming for you, man.
Quickie explain what that is so people don't know.
I've been a Prince fan since I was like a little kid. So my my brother-in-law used to play guitar. So he was, you know, always had Prince playing, or, you know, something with Prince in the house. So, you know, I've always been a fan of Prince. So I was supposed to go there. I think we were there in 2018. We had a race in Pine View Park at Willoughby's track. And I bought a ticket and everything. And then, like, we got busy. The X Games was in Minneapolis that year. So
I was out there. Yeah.
And so then my trip to Paisley Park did not happen.
Oh.
So this is the second time that I've been to Minnesota for an event. So as soon as I saw it on the schedule, I immediately bought my ticket. So I did the ultimate tour, and man, it was worth every penny. It was awesome just to be there and be in the studio where all these fabulous songs were recorded, and you know, it was really good.
I'm gonna go full screen on some of your pictures. Is that okay? That
sounds cool.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's okay. So first off, what's the story on this right here?
That is Prince's like personal bike.
Get out of town.
With the coolest road case that I've ever seen.
Bro, that is the first thing I saw was that road case, right? I'm like, how much is that?
He would take that on tour. So like he could just pop up in London just riding around, you know, or wherever, whatever city you were in. They said he would ride this around Chastain, Minnesota. So you might be, you know, at the grocery store, whatever, and Prince rides by you on that bike.
No. Do you imagine Prince just rolling by and all them jokes that Dave Chappelle said about him?
The basketball. That's all I thought about the whole time.
For sure. Bro, you know the basketball one came up, right?
Yes, yes.
Skirts. For sure.
And there is a basketball court inside of Paisley Park.
Oh, my God. This is awesome.
I did not know there was a tour. That sounds kind of cool, actually.
So I want to... because right now I'm scrolling through Gmo's pictures on the bottom here, but what was one of the most unique things besides the bike road case that you saw when you were on tour?
Let's see, the most unique thing. I forgot that he won an Oscar for best soundtrack for Purple Rain.
Probably played so they played every instrument.
Yeah, they have the Oscar there. I think the coolest thing that I learned there, though, was like he often recorded by himself, and he would record himself singing while sitting. He would literally be sitting in front of the soundboard, you know, playing a guitar or whatnot, and he would sing just like I'm sitting here. He would sing, and that was it, you know. He didn't have to stand up to really get his voice out.
God, I think the only person I've ever heard that with Jimi Hendrix. I read that about him, too. I mean, not all of them, but I mean, is this picture right here, is this in, like, in Paisley? Is this
the Yeah, that's a soundstage.
What the fuck?
You could fit, like, 900 people in that room. He's had concerts in there before.
But this is his house.
Correct. Well, they have living quarters there. The majority of it was studios.
Yeah.
You know, there's four main studios. Another cool thing that I saw is like part of his shoe collection.
They had
like 400 pair of shoes on display.
Hold on. Holy smokes, that picture is a lot of shoes. Dude, the guy, oops, no, I went too far. The guy he rehearsed and danced in.
Yeah. We couldn't take a picture of the shoes. So they only let you take a picture like at the very beginning and at the very end. So they make you lock your cell phone.
What I did is
probably Googled it.
Yep, I did. Hang on. I'll get it up here just so everyone knows, because there it is. I'm going to slide this up here. Yeah, this dude, he would rehearse in these and dance in them.
in those
Well, he had those heels. He had like platforms. He wasn't a very tall man.
That's true. He always had some boot with some type of heel.
Can you tell me the story behind the hockey jersey here, though?
I have no clue. You know, it was just on display, and you know, I thought it was cool and took a picture of it. But I'm sure it was like everything that he ever wore was like custom tailored. Like he never bought anything out of a store.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're Prince, dude. Do you have to? Like honestly, like you really? I mean,
yeah. The dude.
You just call up and you're Prince. We're gonna play basketball. Like let's go. I was trying to find a picture because I saw there was one the other round building next to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was trying to figure out what that was. Did they happen to tell you what it was by any chance?
No, and I should have asked, but I didn't. And then it's I tried to look online, and like nobody knows what it is.
Here, it's like
a mystery building. So some people say that was his living quarters. Some people say it was a garage. I mean. Heard all kinds of different
Prince.
Stuff.
Like you're Prince. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
So the round building is right here. And I know you guys are going to be watching you'll be listening to the podcast. Like you're doing a really bad job for podcasting, but hey, watch on YouTube and you can see all these awesome pictures.
There's a big square building with a round building next
to it. You got to see the motorcycle that he rode.
So there's three of those. There's three motorcycles. They have two on display. One's in the basement.
Okay.
And all three were used in production of Purple Rain.
Your favorite Prince album?
I like Musicology.
Ooh, goddamn good one. That's a good. You are not
either that or the Batman soundtrack.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know he's a fan.
You know that.
He's named two best albums. You ask a Fairweather fan, they're just going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, those are good. What was the one? Goddamn good. What's your favorite song by Prince, Chris?
The first one pops in my head, Raspberry Beret.
Son of a bitch. Knuckle bump. Good one. How about you, George?
Man. Favorite Prince song. Snows in April.
Yeah. All right.
It's probably my favorite. You know, and that, so D'Angelo, one of his proteges, sung that like after he passed away,
mm-hmm.
like on the Tonight Show, man. And it just like gave me chills just listening to him. Like he broke down while he was playing the song on the piano and singing. And just an awesome song.
Right. It claps. It's good.
Man, that dude was awesome.
Fuck, man. Like, I try not to think about this, but I'm like, man, what would the music landscape be if that man was still around?
Yeah. Yeah. What didn't we get from him?
From what I've read, hundreds and thousands of hours of music.
Yeah.
That was in, like, as they call, and George, you might know, like, in the can.
In the vault. It was in the basement of Paisley Park. Yeah.
It's there.
Really?
Like, could you imagine the collaborations that dude would have right now? Like, who? Let me ask this question.
Okay.
It's not in rapid fire, but we're just going to do it right now.
Do it.
Who in you know, today, to nobody or anybody he hasn't done a collaboration with, who's the person you'd like to see him do a collaboration with?
I would like to see, like, maybe, like, Pharrell Williams.
Ooh, goddamn.
Or like Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino.
Dad, Gambino, son.
Wow.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah.
Okay, I have an odd one.
Okay.
Chris Stapleton.
Son of a bitch. You brought the guitar into the factor. you brought that blues factor that he has,
because he is you know, he's considered country, but he's got a lot of bluesy sound,
right?
Stuff,
but so, man, is Prince.
Yeah, I know.
So some Prince backgrounds there, dude.
Dude, so like when we were there, we got to hear like unreleased demo stuff.
What,
and, you know, stuff that, yeah, they have songs you've never heard outside of Paisley Park. The other thing that it was really amazing about him was like he's written so many songs for other people.
Everybody else.
And he would write like under these pseudonyms, you know, these fake names, like, you know, one that really stands out to me was Alexander Nobody.
Alexander.
That was his name he wrote it under, you know. And but he had so many of these and you know, helped so many other artists, or he would just go play on people's albums, you know. Wow. He'd show up at the studio, play his part, and leave, you know. Just the most Prince thing you could ever do, right?
Bro, could you just imagine Prince showing up?
Just like walks in the door, does his deal, walks out the door. He's on.
G-Mo, you're doing good shit. I'm just here to play.
Yeah, that's it. And then he's gone.
Like, no wonder Chappelle's still talking about pancakes. Like,
yes. You know, they still have a chef. His chef still works there.
Am I wrong? But there's a restaurant there or a cafe.
There is.
Yeah.
There is at the very end of the tour.
Okay.
It's called Club MPG, New Power Generation. And yeah, you can just go in there and eat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's his personal chef is still on staff there.
I don't care what it costs, like, to sit there and just eat. And I don't give a shit. Like, you're eating on the same sacred grounds that Prince eventually at one point ate at. Like, we're good. We're good. Like, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, $9 for an apple? Fine. I don't care. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, you know what? Let me hang on. I'm peeking over here to the chat.
Whoops.
And Tom Johnson throws in here, I'd love to see Lenny Kravitz do Prince. Like, I don't know if there was ever an official thing, but god dang, would that
I'll cover a couple of Prince songs. Yeah.
And then Tom says best video of Prince is when he was on stage with Tom Petty, Roy Orbison, and he was doing he was playing his guitar, My Guitar Gently Weeps. I got to look it up and listen.
That guitar is the first thing you see. The actual guitar he played in that.
Oh, really?
The first thing that you see when you walk into into Paisley Park.
God, I'm so bummed. I was at the X Games in 2019 too. But like, in how far is this from where downtown Minnesota?
Downtown Minneapolis, it's maybe 20 minutes.
Thank you. I said Minnesota.
20 minutes from the airport?
Okay.
It's not far at all. It's like due west of the airport.
Wow. Okay, gotcha. So your favorite memorabilia, whatever it was, you saw that the music, video, whatever you saw, your favorite thing you saw there?
Oh, man. Maybe it was the outfit. They had the display of the outfit that he had on in the final scene of Purple Rain when he's on stage singing.
Oh my god.
So like, they have a big screen in there that's playing the video, and he's like, you know, people are asking like, is that the real outfit? And they're like, yeah, of course. So, and knowing that it's, you know, 30 years old now.
Yeah.
No, 40 years old now.
We're not that old.
It looked brand new.
That's one of those things you always wonder, you know, when you see something like that. Is that the actual one, or was there 10 of them, and that's one of the 10? You know, that type of thing.
They said that was the actual one.
That is the one. Okay, that's sweet.
You know, they also had, like, a bunch of sketches of his fashion design. So he was, like, really into fashion, as you could tell by his clothes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But, like, the actual drawings of him sketching stuff out were pretty impressive.
I should have done a better job. I have in the what we like to call the vault here.
The prize closet?
Yeah. It's where we have like jerseys and number plates that people have sent us. I actually have I think it was 20 nights in the O2 Arena, and they did a whole thing on it. It was like this big book that they released. It was a coffee table book, probably like a good 2 feet tall, 18 inches wide. It has CD in it. And it's all a picture book, right? And he's talking about the design part, and they show the sketches, and it was the year the O2 Arena opened, right? So he did like a whole month. It could have been like, you know, how many ever days, but it showed him being that involved in the process, right? Yeah. Like, he's designing outfits for his dancers. He's designing outfits for him. And he even had like sketches of like how he's coming up from the bottom of the stage. Like, this guy,
wow.
Like, dude,
So he was
a genius, man. He was a genius amongst us, you know.
All right, there's your Chris beer. What grinds my gears is Prince. Prince is he's your guy.
Why? What do you mean?
Because I just went off on my rant about him, like how good of an artist he is.
Well, yeah, I mean you can't deny that.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, would you recommend this for everyone to go to?
Not for kids. I think you have to be over 16.
Do you think so?
I think there's a minimum age.
Is there?
But if you're a Prince fan, man, there's nothing better in the world.
Don't like Prince,
even if you're not like a super big fan of Prince, I would still go because a lot of the history that's in that building involves a lot of other artists.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and think about some of the artists he's helped or brought along the way. I mean, the first one comes to mind would be like Sheila E.
Can you imagine the people that have like crossed the door of that place?
Oh yeah, and they had a small list of people that have recorded there. I mean, from Michael Jackson to Stevie Wonder to Madonna it was just surreal even being in there.
To me, I think about like, okay, so you say Madonna, right?
Right.
And like Madonna would have been there probably around the time she was maybe dating Dennis Rodman or, you know, the Richard Gere hype, whatever. Then you think of that entourage that walked through there and famous people. Like, how awesome is that? Yes. And by the way, this is a BMX podcast show.
Right.
Sorry.
We got on a tangent.
This is the Prince segment. Of the All Things BMX
show. When I saw you went there, I was like, this is where it goes off the rails. Because G-Mo and I, actually, it was funny. I was going to message Damon like, hey, dude, you need to come
Damon's
over. And I was going to screenshot.
Yeah.
But he went and raced tonight. So I'm like, this would have been a whole show on G-Mo's trip to Paisley Park if Damon was here, man.
Oh, he'd be all on that, man.
Like, thank you for sharing, your personal time and what you did
in your free time.
Thank you for that, you know, because.
No, because I didn't know that was there. I assume it's kind of along the lines of Graceland for Elvis.
And actually, the family, Prince's family, hired the company that runs Graceland to run Paisley Park.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
How? You got to do it. You know.
If I get that way, I'm doing it.
We went to Lego World instead.
Oh jeez.
I'm sorry.
I know. I was outgunned though, man. Like I had my best friend that got me into BMX, and we had a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. Like you think I'm convincing them to go to Prince?
No. Unless they're musicians.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, dude, that sounds so cool.
They still don't count turntablism as a
musical instrument.
No. That was way outgunned that trip. But I did get to go to the X Games that he was talking about. So
that's cool.
All right, we've touched on a tons of stuff here, and I'm looking at the time here. Are you good on time?
I'm great, man.
Okay.
You can go as long as you want.
Great.
Hey, are they gonna? Is the mothership gonna pay you as long as you're on the show? Because we could run this as long as you want. I'm just kidding. We're kidding. We're teasing. You know,
getting overtime.
Just for the record, we have Gort coming on the show, which I'm super excited about too, because what you guys have done, and I know it's a collaborative effort led by Gort with the Hall of Fame, and we're super excited he's gonna be coming up on the show soon too.
Oh, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be rad. How's that? I'm going old school. It's rad.
Don't make me bitch slap you.
Hey, that's what you always said that in the '80s, man. Totally rad. I messed you up. I'm sorry.
Now I got to go back and read this.
Wicked awesome. That's wicked, Curtin's thing.
It's wicked awesome.
It's wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
And if the kids were saying it this day, they'd say, bro, and that's all.
Or sick?
I don't know. All right. Before we jump into our lightning round, I got some, we'll call them the tough questions.
Oh, all right. Wait. Okay.
What do you got?
Don't forget trivia.
We'll get to. Okay. I didn't skip trivia.
Hey, I don't want Melissa coming down here and getting mad at me.
She's not going to. She's going to go into the.
Okay.
The.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and tell you to pay attention.
All right. Tough questions.
All right. What are your current thoughts on professional BMX racing in the United States?
Personal thoughts. Man, I mean, historically, American BMX has led the world. You know, since the advent of the Olympics and the Supercross Hill, it's kind of, you know, drifted in and out. As far as where you can make a living and you know, where do pros want to live to be able to make that living? Where are they the most marketable? And that's shifted. It's definitely shifted in the past 15 years. Once the Olympics came along, you know, riders beforehand, like really you only had America to come to if you wanted to be a professional BMX racer. But as the advent of the Olympics came along, now riders are using their national governing bodies as the avenue of making a career of BMX. So here in the States, we really don't have that. So you're kind of seeing a changing of the guard, I'll say, in the past 10-15 years. I still think this is the place where the top guys come, where the most attention is garnered, and where the most money can be made. There, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but outside of our series, prize money wise, not sponsorship or anything on that side, but payout wise, that nobody's even close to what we offer.
Okay. So your answer might fuel up the chat room here. Okay. And like, I'm tapping out, not sure, because here's the thing. USA BMX, when I watch your feed, there's a podium finish. I get to watch it later, see it later, picture, see it. So sometimes I don't know what, let's say like the outside federation's paying. Okay. So,
you're saying,
but I don't
they hold
know
up the check and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, cause look, let's be honest. There's going to be people like, oh, this check they're holding up is less than what they made, whatever. So we'll come back to that. All right. Cause we can spend better time on other questions. International versus USA racing. Watching the Worlds, and then last weekend watching I didn't have a national to watch, so
the British.
I was watching the British British Grands. Can USA BMX go? Would it be beneficial for USA BMX to follow the international model, where there's like the three rounds and then you go into your elimination, stuff like that?
Oh, the UCI?
Or are we at a point where we're like, we can't, I guess, because this question, and I might not be asking it in the right way, because I've heard it screamed in 9,742 different ways. Like, we have a two moto transfer, but we watch all these international races, and in like, I follow them. I get it. Like, dude, they don't race everything this day, this day, this day. It's totally different. However, can we, with our format, ever get to that place where it's like, okay, we're going to the UCI, like, let's call it the stamp. Is that,
I don't think it'll ever happen here.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. One, three motos, to score three motos is just more difficult.
Okay.
So you're now asking your volunteers to do more work at the local level, right? The transfer system is easy to understand. It's easy to score. So internationally, they use three motos because historically that's IBMXF, you know, the first international organization, which eventually morphed into the UCI, or was absorbed by the UCI. That's why they have three motos. But they don't really run the size events that we run here. And we hands down run the largest
100%.
BMX events in the world.
Definitely.
And it's just an efficient system. Just imagine, okay, you know, Grands last year was what, 950 something motos? Imagine adding another 957 laps onto what we already ran.
Right.
And that's on the extreme top end, but you know, you could see how that, you know, even at the local level, running another 20 or 30 laps you know, when you're trying to get home and cook for your kids and, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Here's a good one.
And it's only one moto. Everything else is the same.
Dude.
So you get the eighth.
Here's what's funny.
Quarter semis.
Locally, we live in a state that, like, embraced locally. Like, we're just going to race total points. Right? So no matter what you have for moto count, you're just doing total points. No matter what you have for, rider count, you're doing total points. And, like, it's cool, right? And I'll tell you, in the, I don't know how many years they... Michigan's been doing it, but thank you, Michigan, for killing me. I honestly could say, like, it's never changed, at least in my experience. Like, it has never changed the outcome, right? So, get it. Next question for you is, and again, this is all your opinion. how can the sport of BMX get the big sponsors back into the sport?
Man, if I had the answer to that question,
yeah,
it would already have happened.
Would it? Okay.
For sure.
It's hard because people always compare us to the 80s, and I try to explain to people that, you know, there wasn't, you know, you had like three channels on TV in the 80s.
So, right.
You know, you watched was what you got.
Like three, six.
There wasn't as much media exposure. Okay. As there is now. So there's, you know, there's hundreds of cable channels, there's online streaming platforms, it's so widespread now. So for like a company, like a Fortune 500 company to come into BMX is highly unlikely because we just don't have the number of eyeballs that garner their attention. And that's basically what it comes down to. It's not that it's not interesting. It's not that we can't format it. It's not that, you know, whatever reason you could come up with, it's just there's not enough eyeballs to garner that kind of attention from that size of a company.
So then I go to this, like, you're talking about the media, like, it's an oversaturation because, like, you can't go and be screaming, I made
how much did the guy make in 84, Chris?
Oh, like for a main?
I'm teasing.
Let's say $5,000.
Oh, yeah, man, five
I'm
grand.
Just pulling the number.
$5,000 and 85.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude, to what George just said, you had like, you'd less media. Not just the sheer fact of where you can consume media tells me how in the flying F are you going to get sponsorship dollars funneled to where they should be, air quotations. Yeah. Because, like, you go from, as you just said, right? You had three channels. Then basic cable blew up and maybe you had 16, you know, and then the internet came around and you had a few more, and then you had some channels online stream. But you look at now and you look at us, like, we would not be around if it wasn't for the selective media outlets that we have.
Right.
And
well, yeah. And the other piece of that is back in the 80s, it was a fairly new sport at that time, and people didn't know where it was going to go and what was going to happen with it. And it was blowing up. So one that pops into my head right away is like Post Cereal jumped on the national thing and became a national sponsor. And every morning you showed up at the national, you got, you know, Post Honeycomb or Raisin Bran or whatever. And they sponsored that.
You got a box of it.
I don't remember.
Or like a sample,
little sample, you know, those little tiny boxes, you get those little, but what, anyway, so I think, like George just said, the eyeballs aren't there now that were
they're
back
everywhere,
when.
Dude.
So it just,
you know, you also got to think, you know, how many kids that you know grew up on a BMX bike?
I don't
compared to today, like,
dude.
Right? If you go through your neighborhood, how many kids do you see riding bikes?
None. I don't. None. I don't see any. And you know, I think about, like, oh, you know, having your number plate on your bike can help the sport. I'm like, dude, I go on these Thursday night social rides with some friends of ours. And
oh, yeah, up in
Flint. Like, oh, is that thing going to hold your light up? Because I got to put a light on it because we ride at night. Like, no one's talking about, like, you race, bro. And I'm like, there's, you know, at the social ride, and in some people call them a slow roll or whatever you call them in your, you know, your cycling area. Community.
Yeah.
Like I go every week and I go up to Flint, Michigan and I drink the water because I'm not scared. And like I put my little headlight on my bike and Paul from Richfield Park and Austin from Richfield Park and I, we go and there's a bunch of other people from that track. I'm sorry, I don't remember. But like we just go and ride around, right? Like we don't, there's not BMX. Well,
it's a big group, right? It's a big social.
No one is there like saying like, oh, you got a number plate on your bike. Let me go run to the BMX track, which is one of the things I always hear. Like, no one runs their number plate. Sorry, I'm going on a rant. I'm going on a crispier rant.
Justin, but, what grinds your gears?
I'm sorry. Like, number plates aren't going to fix our fucking problem, okay? All right. No. So.
But I ride mine whenever I go on a bike ride.
I don't really take mine off.
I don't either.
I'm too old. Yeah, I'm lazy. It's Velcro. I'm too lazy to take it off.
Never took mine off either.
I'm not going to.
Like gate 9 number plate.
People look at my 20 and they're like, what does 198 mean? It means I was the second person from being the worst in my district. But I think, hey, speaking of district stuff, like, I think like what you guys have done with the rezoning of districts and the adding of riders, fantastic work, by the way. I know it's not easy. Just good work there.
Yeah, so they add extra one here in Michigan, so now we got another.
Yeah, but it's we're making, you know, like we're trying to make shit. Ready for trivia?
Yep. Let's do
George,
that.
George, are you ready for trivia?
Always ready.
I got to dump out of that chat room right now, okay?
Question.
Yeah, I got to. Do I ever have a question?
Let me do my best impersonation here of a
you're not
spokesperson.
You're not going to, just for the record.
I know.
It's going to be terrible. Sorry if I'm looking down.
That's great. So, welcome to Melissa's Trivia Question, brought to you by Bombshell Racing Products.
Without Melissa.
Without Melissa. We're filling in for her tonight. So we'll do our best here to not screw this up.
You're right there, buddy. Can I ask you a personal question, Chris?
Sure.
Are you wearing that Sarasota number plate to further fuel the fire between Sarasota and Waterford Oaks on who is the oldest track in BMX?
No. I didn't know there was anything because it's Sarasota. They have Waterford Oaks by about 3 months.
That depends though. They changed the track.
But Sarasota closed.
See? Thank you, George.
Oh, now you're going to fire it up, Gmo. That's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, longest continuously running.
There we go, kids.
And then there's also the argument of Sarasota moved their track within the facility, and Waterford Oaks has always been in the same exact
spot. You know what we need to do?
Well, that's
Alice Bixler needs to be on the show.
Yeah, let's get Alice.
Hall of Famer.
We've been trying to get Alice on here for about 2 years now, and she just won't do it. But we need to get her on here.
Rumor has it she ran over Brian Fell on her scooter.
Oh, with her scooter?
Yeah, her and Fell had a scooter race, and she ran him over.
Hey, she took him out.
Took him out, elbows out. She said, listen, son, elbows out, I got to qualify. Hey, all right.
She's actually running our one-off All Things BMX Show red number plate on her
The scooter. Only one.
There's only one, and she's got it. All the other ones are green.
Would you like a number plate for your scooter? She's like, yeah, I need it. Honda red.
There you go.
I said,
ride red.
I got to ask the guy that makes our number plates. Yeah, so I'll get right back to
you. Got a hold of Billy at Gate 9, and he hooked it up.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for this?
God, look, we just lit a effing fire up in the chat.
Did we?
About who's the oldest track. Alice is in there. Fell's in there.
Is he? All right. So fire that up.
Dude, somebody needs to tag Josh.
All right.
He's the current TO at Waterford.
At Waterford Oaks. Yeah. So, Waterford Oaks, 1974. Last I knew, Sarasota was
open. Speaking of Alice, she's in the chat.
Oh, yes. She's in here, Alice.
She's on here a lot.
Dude, Alice, you have to be on the show.
Everybody tell Alice she has to be a guest on our show.
We'll spend 38 minutes promoting
Sarasota.
Her I think it's a power. Is it? Would it be?
Oh, called? Haps Motorcycle.
Haps, yeah, power Haps, sports. Haps Power.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about her place. Shop. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, can't think of the name. All right,
her family business. Yeah. All right. So, are we ready? Okay.
Do you have a question, or do I?
You do, but I need to show the.
I thought you
the
did.
Goodies. No, you said you had one.
No, I thought you had one.
All right.
No, just go ahead. I'm kidding.
All right. So
this is what happens when Melissa's not here.
Right. So here's the prize pack for this evening.
You have to hold it up close, though, because we don't have a Melissa camera.
All right. So we have a sticker pack. Obviously, there's an ATB sticker right there in the front. There's all kinds of other ones in there. And we have a tube of Danger Snacks from our buddy over at, Brian Dorsey. I'm sorry.
Danger
Brian.
Snacks.
Danger Snacks. The difference between Danger Dragon Snacks. And Holland right there.
Yep. In there. There all right. You go.
We have a t-shirt from Bombshell Racing. You get your Bombshell t-shirt. And then we have this cool visor from Ghetto Wear. So you get that. So if you get this question right, we will send that to you.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. So George is riding his bike. He's just out riding around. And he experienced BMX. And he came across somebody that had this type of number plate on their bike that got him into BMX racing. Yeah, that look, I'm leaving that? These questions vague intentionally because everyone can try to Google. And here's the thing with, do you know, George, with AI, what we talk about right now, people can like and look up.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, so I might be trying
we're
to throw.
We're not talking about a brand name here on this.
Not a brand name.
But what? What is the number on the plate represent? How's that?
So, Scott Salone got it.
Really?
Yeah, we have to go to the next person because he's still never committed
school,
to a date.
Really?
No, yeah, no, we got to skip him because he won't come on our show.
No, it's not. He's fine to come on. He just can't commit yet.
Oh.
We just tease him.
Okay.
We love you, buddy. No, yeah. Honestly, like it's
old school. You're the man.
No, for sure, dude. Just give him shit.
Yeah, and we got
that
you.
Guy's schedule. Like totally is right there. So question, George is out riding, came across some riders, saw this type of number plate, not a sponsor, not a manufacturer. And what was that number plate? Okay.
All right.
Are you ready for?
I am.
Are you?
Lightning round. Brought to you by 110 Nutrition.
It's time for Lightning Round. Are you ready, George? Lightning Round's brought to you by 110 Nutrition. Hope you've got your nutritions, George. If you haven't, make sure you guys hit up 110 Nutrition. We have a new product alert. The 110 Greens alert.
Yes.
Not the greens you're going to get from 420, but the greens you're going to get for the digestive tract. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys get over to 110 Nutrition. I looked just yesterday, and the 110 greens are in stock.
Yep.
Okay? All right. Rapid-fire question. No time to think. Just answer. Here we go. Chris.
All right. George, what's the last movie you watched and liked so much? You liked so much you watched it twice.
Probably the last Transformers movie.
Okay. Wait, which last one, though?
The one that just came out like last month.
Really?
Yeah.
With the Autobots and Dinobots and stuff.
Yeah.
You think that was the best one in the series?
It was up there.
Really?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. I mean, it was. We'll talk later. All right. It was good, but I was like, dang, I felt like they mailed the storyline. Anyway, favorite sport other than BMX?
Fishing.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, if you ever get up, well, you're going to get up to Michigan next year. We can go hang out. I got some fishing spots.
All right.
Sweet.
All right, Chris.
All right. What is one place you would like to travel to that you've never been before?
Probably been looking at Thailand, somewhere in like the Far East.
All right. Okay. What was the last thing you Googled on your phone?
You look.
Probably all things BMX show.
Yeah, I had to check you guys out to see what I'd get myself into.
He did that a long time ago.
The Nathan's Hot Dog Contest.
Oh. Going down this weekend, son.
We were having a discussion on one of the Facebook groups, and somehow the Nathan's contest came. So.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
You have a technique for it? Have you watched it ever?
No, I can't watch that stuff, man.
That shit is
like pure gluttony.
Oh, dude.
The way they like just dip the bun in water, and all I can think of is like as soon as that hits your stomach, how it expands.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's
go. Not my deal.
Let's live stream it.
Live stream it.
We can't because we'll be at the races.
Is there any way you can put the scores timing in there? Like from the plate to your mouth or something?
Martin is now going to put you on the co-sponsor.
Favorite thing you like to do on a date with your significant other?
We like to go to live music venues.
Have you made it to the Wu-Tang?
The who, huh?
The Wu-Tang concert this year.
No.
Bro. Nas and Wu-Tang, gotta go see it, okay?
Not everybody's into that stuff, man.
First of all, I haven't
made it out there.
Fuck if you have or not. Like, it's kind of like seeing the Doobie Brothers, all right? It's a rite of passage. Your dad's going to drag you out there.
That's kind of like going to a Jimmy Buffett concert.
I wouldn't go Jimmy Buffett. I'd go Doobie Brothers or America.
Okay.
Is your bed made right now?
Yes.
Attaboy.
Yep. All right. Do you believe in the supernatural, like ghosts and that type of thing?
Not ghosts, but extraterrestrials, yes.
Okay.
If you could transform into any animal, what would it be?
Lion.
King of the jungle, man. All right. Let's see here. BMX bicycle frame. You prefer aluminum, carbon fiber, or chrome moly?
I've always been a fan of aluminum.
Aluminum.
All right. All right. If you could go back in time and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Save your money.
I can't argue with that one. What's your favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh man. Probably ice cream. I like ice cream.
All right. That might come up later. If you could change your very first name, what would it be?
I have no clue. I don't know. That's a weird question.
I know. That's actually, we like to put these. If you think this one's weird, wait till you get to the parking one. It's really weird.
I'll go with my middle name, which is Henry.
So you would rather be Henry first?
Yeah.
Okay. Henry George? Or would you just pick a total different middle name?
I'd probably pick a different middle name.
I would too. I mean, I would. I mean, if I had to move mine around.
Actually, my middle name is George.
Welcome to the club.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you.
Right on.
Okay.
All right. I don't know where it came from. I'm sorry. Favorite type of music you enjoy listening to?
Probably R&B.
Okay. Yeah, we kind of covered Prince earlier, so that kind of...
You like Jodeci?
Jodeci's good.
Goddamn, Jodeci's a great band.
Yes.
It's a great group.
They can't sing now, though.
Oh, they sound like shit right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, do they?
Drugs are bad, kids. Drugs are bad.
Just so you... What we talk about right here is always on my computer. Most of you guys know this. So, like, when I go to YouTube for when I'm working to listen to music, it'll be like, Jodeci.
Jodeci.
We talked about Jodeci, right? And I'll be like, oh, that is bad. It's so bad. So bad. It's so bad. All right. Well, what's your favorite type of cookie?
Chocolate chip.
Attaboy.
Yes. That is the number one answer.
Alien, ask me yet.
You?
Sugar.
Sugar? Man, that's boring.
No, that's what I got to go with. Lofthouse, like you're like Lofthouse at a Publix, Myers, Kroger, whatever they are across the country. Yeah, son.
With frosting on it or plain?
No, you gotta have frosting.
Okay.
I don't give a shit what color it is. It always tastes the same.
That's true.
Because you don't chew the shit long enough to know.
Right. Oh, gosh. Okay, so. All right. Do you think your 12-year-old self would think you are cool?
Probably not.
No, I beg to differ. Like, I do. I have to beg to differ. I think so. I just,
I think so, huh?
Yeah, I do, man. Like, yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I sure do. I mean,
oh, hey, we think you're pretty cool, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not 12, but I'm just saying, yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you are the man when it comes to, like, live streaming and
all the
and,
tech
like,
stuff.
I don't like using this word a lot, but like all the nerd stuff, but like that's what we do, you know? It's the only time we're going to side be like, we, that's what we do. Like we promote and make content. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. And I think like in 5 years, 10 years from now, it will be pretty goddamn cool. Like people are going to look and be like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Well, hopefully.
Ah, there'll still be people bitching like, how come you didn't have that 13th angle on the fucking drone? I'd be like, I don't know, because it was by a set of railroad tracks.
So, well, speaking of drone, what did you guys think of the drone at the Worlds?
Okay, let us finish this and then go to the drone.
All right, I'll write
it. We only have a couple questions left. Right. Okay, here comes the weird parking question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Think of yourself as a drone. You pull into a parking lot. You turn down a row. There are spaces on the left and right side. Do you park on the left or do you park on the right side? They're all open, just for the record, and they're the closest ones to the front door.
I'm probably a left guy.
Is it because it's the driver's side?
I think so. I drive like
a
Tundra, so it's a bigger vehicle, so it's easier to pull left than it is right.
But you don't, being your pickup guy, which you're going to know this, and people will be like, be like, go buy a pickup and you'll learn this. Being your pickup guy, you don't back in all the time?
Not all the time. It depends on how big the space is.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Great. Actually, great answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, that's the majority of the answer is left. Why?
It's fucking weird because I always think of this when I go donate plasma because the parking lot's packed.
Yeah.
Like, I never park on the left.
Really?
I'm fucking weird. And I don't know if it's because Mike Miller sent the question to us because I was doing it way before it. But, like, if I couldn't park to the left, I would just
go to another row.
And back in, though. It would still be the left, but I'd back in. So I guess it still counts, right?
I guess.
So weird. I was just trying to stall so you had time to read the next question.
Oh, is that what? Oh, dude.
Want to go to Frankenmuth this weekend, Chris?
Sure, I'll read get some question. Chicken. Oh. I did.
Might be a. There's a good Michigan joke in there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. What's your favorite holiday that you celebrate?
Christmas, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it says where that joke comes from people that don't know, in Frankenmuth, Michigan, which is north of Flint, Michigan, there's the world's largest Christmas store. It's called Bronner's.
Oh, yeah. They celebrate Christmas 364
days a year because they're closed on Christmas Day.
It's the only day. All right. Last question, GMO. Are you ready?
Always.
I don't have an Optimus Prime voice to use for you. your favorite Wednesday night live streaming BMX show.
Oh, man, it's got to be All Things BMX.
My man.
Thank you.
Got to be.
All right, so we're going to dip back into the trivia. And there was one person that did nail it.
Okay.
And you know what? Kudos to him because he still won't come on the show because he says he's super busy like Tom Brady. But Scott Sloan said, hey, I got the right answer. Give it to the second place winner, and we don't have one. So thank you.
Yeah. We'll recycle it for next week.
You know what? How about we take his gift package and we take it out to the triple challenge race?
There we go.
Are you okay with that? Like, we do this triple challenge race over this weekend because a lot of us are way too poor to afford to go to that race. We like to kid.
Oh, no.
So we have this triple track challenge race that we stole the idea from the Bang and Bar series, George.
Down in
Florida. What we do is ATV hosts this thing, and it's at Waterford, Richfield, and Can-Am. And we got like one award, and they all put their finishes on it. But we could take your gift pack and just make it like a mystery moto or whatever.
There we go.
If it's okay with that.
There you go. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, boy.
Be a mystery moto prize. That would be cool.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
All right, so we'll get that put together. Make sure
you know
that
what
that
we could do is be like whoever shows up with a Toyota Tundra.
And parks on the left.
And like you and Melissa and I and Paul can be out in the parking lot like this. just looking. We put some cones out there on Friday night. Dude, let's film it.
That would be funny.
We could totally
got it back in too.
And they got it back in.
First one to back in. Because there's only so many people listening, so the first person to back in at Can-Am gets George's gift pack.
All right? Yeah.
Wait,
you're going to be there, right? So you can handle it.
Sure.
Okay.
But here's the best part. Like, I'm going to take an after picture because between now and then, there'll be so many people because of the podcast downloads. They clap hard. So, like, a lot of people listen. So, like, there's just going to be so many trucks backed in.
Right.
We'll get some pictures. We'll post them.
All right.
Let's do that. You want to do that?
All decisions by the judges are final.
Got
it. No argument.
No one that backs in is going to win. It's just going to be a random kid that we pick a moto.
There you go.
Just so you know. But please back in.
Yes. All right. So
we don't host events for anybody other than those that are in the events, right?
Right. We don't host events for anybody that's in the event.
No, we don't host them unless they're in the event. Like, I don't care how many people back in. I mean, yeah, back in. I'm going to bring an award out. I got 9,977 stickers from Ghetto Wear.
There you go.
I'm going to go out there and tag them on all their cars. I'll put them under their wiper blades.
Guys will like that.
Oh, no. That'd be fine. Let me go in the chat room, Chris, while you're looking. I want to make sure we didn't miss any questions. What do you got? Okay. Yeah. You tell everyone
next week
about that, and I'm looking in the chat.
So next Wednesday, make sure you join us. We're going to be talking to the king of the skate parks, Mr. Eddie Fiola, will be our guest. So we're going to talk some freestyle, get into his movie career, and a whole lot more. He's got stuff going. We'll probably talk about Rad, the movie. We'll talk about... Oh, gosh, we're just going on and on. But, yeah, so next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, Eddie Fiola. And if you guys are enjoying the show, make sure you like, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. Reach down there and hit that little thumbs up button. It just takes 2 seconds to do it, and it helps us out so much. We can't even explain it at this point. So do that for us. And we wanted to talk about drones at the world.
How dope was that? I want to be the first one to start this off because it was super cool. I mean, I get it. There were limitations because the way
there has to be.
Yeah. I mean, where it picked it up and ran, but I thought it was me personally. I sat and watched the worlds trying to just be as best as I could, a random spectator. And I thought it was kind of cool. George?
I'll disagree.
Oh, that is perfect.
Okay.
You know what?
The drone is cool. Don't get me wrong. The drone is cool.
Yes, I like this.
But like,
let's go.
During the main event, I need to see what's happening in the actual race. Like,
okay.
The drone was so far behind the pack. They're probably, you know, 40, 50 feet behind the guys riding. You can't see what's happening or what's transpiring. So, you know,
okay,
me thinking about like how I would do that in a production, I would use that as like, you know, maybe a replay shot or something else. I wouldn't use it as my as a primary shot.
Like you'd put that as B-reel.
Yeah.
Not the rapper.
B-roll.
Huh.
B-roll. So, yeah. Man, you know what? Now that you brought that up, that's a great point because like correct me if I'm wrong, please. The drone footage didn't come up until, was it the semis?
Maybe quarters?
Maybe quarters, eighths, or five. Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't in the moto.
No, it was. No. And that's a great point because now that you bring that up, I concur. You are correct. Because if I could have watched that from a left to right to know how close the race was, I would have liked that more. So,
yeah, it just seemed like it was overdone to me.
Are we going to have a drone this year at Grands?
Nah.
Anytime soon?
I don't know. Just there's so much involved with that and insurance and, you know,
look
in a building. You know, it's just,
oh, inside.
We've flown a drone in there, but not, you know, for the live stream.
Hey, man, I got a friend. Saw him on TV one time. His name is Shaq. He works for this company named Look Insurance. He can do anything. We can get that drone insured, bro. I mean, if it crashes and costs some bro like 10 grand, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Look Insurance has this covered.
Now, I did a live drone 2015, Colorado.
Yeah.
The first Supercross race we had there, one of the local guys that I hired to work, we used his drone during the production.
That is cool, though. I mean, it could be cool, but like George said with the race, trying to follow the riders with that, you would really...
You'd have to be so close to them to be able to see frame the shot right.
Right.
Is it good for replays?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, now that we've talked about it, I've been thinking, like... The takeaways are like, okay, cool. I watched the left to right, you know, feed. But then when you can see, like, you know, they go back and they're like, so-and-so.
That top view looking down.
Blew the gate or lost a pedal. That's where that drone footage comes in, right?
And right.
And on the replay. What about man, I'm just spitballing. What about like a cable cam?
Grands before.
No good. Guess good.
It's good, but it requires somebody to be dedicated to that shot. Like that's all they do.
Bro, I'm super cheap. But I don't know if the. If you're gonna hang me up there to cable cam, I'm a thick dude, bro. It's gonna be you need to get some real sturdy strain.
Some real heavy cable.
But no, it's like anything else. It just gets repetitive, you know?
Sure.
Okay. Or the action doesn't happen where that camera is.
Right. So that brings up me another question, Link. What is your return on interest when you're like, all these people are tossing up like drone cable cams, right? And you think to yourself, like, I don't know what year it was that PJ O'Brien did the front flip dismount in the third straightaway?
Second straight.
Yep. If you would have pinned or hung, you know, say you put a camera up there on a strand or a string or pinned a camera, you know, so it filmed the second straight or had a drone dedicated to the second straight. Like, how many other motos went by that had anything happen like that, right? Like, what's your return on investment? And I think, like,
right.
I don't know. This is just my ignorant opinion. Is like, I don't think it's that much.
No, it's just a novelty shot, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, dude, in today's day and age, like, I don't have my $9,000 camera. Like, I'm the mothership. I don't have my $9,000 camera, $10,000, $15,000. I don't even know how much they are. But I don't have it here. But, like, before you know it, you've got 19 different views. Then suddenly you got 36. 87, 128 different views of that crash. Like, what, when you think of return on investment when it comes to social media monetizing, like, was it worth really having it there or just letting those other people just post it and then put it? Like,
yeah, and I think, you know, when we did the instant replay on that, I think there was three or four shots.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Different angles of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome, by the way. Like that
type of stuff, you know, the logistics for making that stuff happen, like flying a drone and getting close and being able to actually see, you know, the front two or three riders and actually get a view of it. I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
I've had riders
complain about the noise, like during the gate cadence.
The drone?
If somebody's too close to the gate, just that hum, the humming noise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's that. There's, you know, the FPV guys that fly those type of drones, they say that it's hard to follow BMX because it goes so slow. Like most of those guys are like racing drone type guys, and they're going 50 miles an hour. So
yeah,
you know, for them to slow down to 30 miles an hour is a big jump for them. So
that's a good point.
Oh, see, I thought it. I know nothing about drones other than it's a camera that flies like a helicopter, but it. I would think it would be the opposite. They wouldn't be able to keep up with it because it moves too fast.
Oh,
but
no, not at all.
Those things really move.
You ever watch a drone?
Yeah, you could do like 60, 70 miles an hour with race drone.
Holy cow. Okay.
DRL, Drone Racing League. Watch that.
Yeah.
Really?
You remember the Palace?
Yeah.
After they closed down, they used to run them in there.
Holy cow.
Dude, this shit was crazy. They'd hang up these like, anyway, I don't want to, you know, that's a whole different, not
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, we're not going George, down that rabbit hole.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, man, no problem.
Love to have you back on the show again if you can forge some time out and hang out with us again. We appreciate everything you do for the sport. We truly do.
Yes. Yeah, from the magazine to the video to it, you know. I still look forward to the magazine. I'm kind of old school, I think.
I still do.
I like the magazine.
Yeah, but like I appreciate the magazine, appreciate the digital part. And like, you know, we were talking earlier with the content, analytics, you know, like what you're doing with the triple, double, double, da, 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 like that stuff cool. Keep up the good work.
In the live stream of the races. I mean, that's awesome too.
Hey, if you ever need somebody to announce birthdays wrong.
I'm your guy.
It's your dude. It's your dude. Oh, man. Like everything you've done, you're doing for the sport, we appreciate
it. Yes. Thank you very much. And thank you for being on tonight. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, man. It's a passion. So,
yeah.
No sweat off my brow.
All right.
Please keep up the good work. We're going to toss it over to you for shout outs and recognitions. All right.
Oh man, shout out to you know, my kids, my wife, you know, thanks for letting me hang out a little late at the office tonight. All my coworkers here at USA BMX. Shout out to all my Florida BMX folks, man. Hope you guys are doing okay down there. Saw the storm hit this morning. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to you guys. And just, you know, everybody out there in YouTube and Facebook world and Twitch and, you know, go out and support your local track.
Man, we try to do what we can, man.
We get out there and ride. It's like our buddy Bill Ryan always says, get out and ride your bike.
Ride your bike.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, Gmo, thank you for being with us tonight. We appreciate it. Everybody, make sure you join us next week. We have Eddie Fiola on. We'll talk to him. And until then, be good. God bless you. And I'm going to hand it over to Justin.
Yeah. From all of us here at All Things BMX Show, we want to thank our guest, George Vick. Thank you, sir. And we want to thank all of you guys that were listening this evening. We appreciate it. Without you guys, this show doesn't happen. Without you guys listening to the downloads, the podcasts, or making the downloads and the podcasts and everything, it doesn't happen.
Like and subscribe, all that stuff. Like yeah, please you always do, man. Hear.
But you know what?
It seriously helps.
Last week we got to show up late because it was late, but I was really, really impressed with all the downloads and, you know, you guys, without your support, this show doesn't happen. So we appreciate everything you guys do. GMO, thank you again for joining us. If you have a few minutes to hang out, please do, GMO. We'll be back over to you in a second.
I think that's it.
Hey,
get out
if you're
there.
Not going to go to Louisville and you want to drive halfway across the country,
come to
drive
Michigan.
Up to Michigan.
Triple Track Challenge going on this weekend, sponsored by the All Things BMX Show. Yeah. And we can talk that up for 2 seconds. But, yeah, so Can-Am BMX on Friday, Waterford Oaks, oldest track in the world, maybe.
Maybe.
Sarasota, you guys can argue about that. We don't care. All right, and Saturday and then Sunday, Richfield Park BMX. So that's going on. Other than that, you know, everybody have a great Labor Day weekend. Good luck to everybody headed to Louisville down there. And we'll be watching it on the live stream.
Brought to you by GMO.
Brought to you by GMO. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless.
God bless you.